studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, this past week on Abounding Grace, we've been really studying this unique and succinct statement by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed or be disappointed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What a mouthful, just a wonderful statement about what the Christian life is and the perspective, the mindset of the Christian. To have Christ magnified in us, whether by life or by death, is to first, we said yesterday, recognize that all of our life, every square inch, belongs to Him. I mean, there are constant statements and statements like this throughout the Bible that we are not our own, but we're bought with a price, therefore we are to honor God with our body. It's not just an honoring that occurs in the good times. I mean, Paul was in prison. Paul was facing an impending death. And he could say this sort of thing, that all of life, whether I live or die, really is to the magnification of Christ, and it will be for His gain. And so it's not just an honoring or a glorifying or a magnifying that occurs in the good times. We are also to give Him our bodies in the bad times, in the trying times. We make that commitment to Him as a Christian. You know, in the trying times, what do we often do with our lives? Well, the common and typical response is to hide. We don't want people to see our hurt. So what do? Ironically, we close off our lives to others so that we don't have to face them. But have we ever given thought to the fact that it's in the most trying times of our lives that we should show forth our lives as Christians to one another and to the world? Why? Well, because all of this trial, every bit of it, is designed to glorify God. And because we aren't alone through this. The Spirit is in you, giving you power. For what end? Well, understanding that everything God has designed for us specifically is to be revealed to others so that they can see how Christ is constantly being magnified in us and transforming us into His image, and in the process, He's being enlarged through us, then it's a commitment to show others this in us, especially at times of trial, not to cover, not to hide. It's a commitment to Him in life and in death. It is a life of gratitude for His deliverance and assurance that He gives you eternal life. It's learning to fully submit to His will. We pray that, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a spiritual discipline. To learn to surrender our whole body and our whole self to Jesus Christ, recognizing that a trial He sends, let us show forth the joy of the Lord through it to all. Hiding and running from it is, at the end of the day, a despising of His sovereignty, a despising of His will, and a despising of that which He has designed so that you would glorify Him. What does Romans 12, 1 say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Look, he says, it's your reasonable service as a Christian to present your body as a living sacrifice so that in all things, what, whether you eat or drink, all of it would be done to the glory of God. We have this terrible tendency, I suppose, to be Sunday-only Christians. We have this tendency in us as individual Christians to divide our lives between that which is sacred and that which is secular. But do you know, as a Christian, your Christianity, your faith, who you are, must go with you to your job, to the store, wherever you are, so that this perspective that the Apostle Paul gives us, that you would be the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. You know, it's a sad witness that when someone once asked a friend of mine where he attended church, and after he had told him, the man replied, "You go there? Do you know how many of them are drunk on the weekends from that church?" You see, this all wrecks the witness and the very magnification of Christ's name that is designed through everything that we are and everything that we go through and every situation in life. The Spirit lives in us wherever we go. And you know, when we stood up and professed our belief in Jesus, do you know what we did? We made a solemn vow, a solemn commitment to God, that our life is now His, that we would forsake our old ways and live in the newness of life, submitting to Jesus Christ. If our whole life is to be His, then every part of it must be His. Jesus, of course, we could go right down the line. Jesus spoke of the eye. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. In that sermon, He would go on to warn against two serious sins with the eye: covetousness, seating other things on the throne of your heart other than Christ, wanting and desiring the things this world has to offer, and the other one, sexual immorality. Even their eyes must be given to Him. It's interesting to me that Paul says, with all boldness here in Philippians 1, Christ would be magnified. Boldness literally means plainness of speech. Even the tongue is Christ's. There's a reason why James 3 verse 4 says something very powerful. "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God." It is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for" what? "Pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Our whole being must be brought into the captivity of Christ. Our eyes, our tongue, our mind, everything. And if you're wondering, how is that to be stirred up in me? It's all about Christian joy. What does our life show? Do you know, Christians, that we are set apart to the end, that when people look at us, do you know what they should see? Well, they should see a humble Savior. They should see Christ living in us, a Christ who gave Himself for sinners, who went to the cross, never lifting a finger or giving a reviling word, and willingly giving Himself as a servant to exalt those who were in need. You are that living testimony, as 2 Corinthians 3 says. You are the epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. It is absolutely true. We are the only Bible some will ever read. I hear a lot of talk about evangelism today. The first place for evangelism is look at how your life is magnifying Christ, as Paul presents to us here. The most effective evangelizing body will be the church that has all of its members in some way, through the various things that God sends to show Jesus in them, the life of Christ manifested, even through trial, even through suffering. But if our lives are chaos, if we are running and complaining from all of God's trials that He sends and all of the afflictions that He orders, how do you expect anyone to think that we have anything to offer them by a way of a Savior who can actually change lives? Jesus must be magnified in us in all circumstances. That was Paul's perspective about life. This is what he had come to see. So the question then before us today is, do you have what Paul says, this hope and eager expectation? If what I have described to you today is a foreign to your life, the answer is then you must fall before your Lord, bend the knee, confess that you have been wasting your life, and believe in Jesus. believe in Jesus and see what a life of true joy and happiness is really like. But for the downcast today, what might it be that is trying you today to think that something particular surely cannot be working out for good to those who love God? Is it the pain of losing a loved one? Is it a sick loved one? Is it some weight of sin in you? Is it some circumstance that you have found yourself in, or some injustice that you have been victimized of? People often speak of being victims today. What might it be? Well, what the thing that you need to recognize is that nothing comes to you apart from the sovereign hand of God. See a brother so many years ago in Paul stepping to the judgment seat of men and possibly facing a death sentence and saying with confidence to all, I know this will turn out for my deliverance and my earnest expectation and hope, and nothing will I be ashamed. So now facing this with boldness, I know Christ will be magnified in my body, whether in life or in death. So then all things are working out for the good to those who love him. For in God's sovereign design, his will and his purposes will be accomplished in my life as a Christian, as Christ is all the more glorified and magnified in our bodies. Then as a Christian, you must go, recognizing your life is set apart to show with joy that Christ lives in you no matter your circumstance, and live so as to let your light shine and Jesus be magnified in you, so that everyone might know what you have and long to have what you have, this life of joy and peace in your only hope, Jesus Christ. One of our great convictions at the Linden United Reformed Church is that all of Scripture is in some way directed to show us the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not often what you hear today. Often the Bible is treated as a manual for happy living, with the first question being, what's in it for me? A very postmodern and a very humanistic approach to reading the Bible. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, our conviction is that all of Scripture in some way shows us Jesus Christ, and he should be preached from all of Scripture. Join us this Sunday for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are our worship service times. You may also visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Again, that's www.lindenurc.com. Phone number is 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.